We're working on the entire infrastructure for mobile smart devices, the management of them, the applications, the access to the data, the entire infrastructure necessary to support a warfighter with a mobile device.
Now, from what I understand, and you kind of alluded to this, each of the services are kind of doing their own things as far as mobile devices and mobile apps. What are you aiming to do, to the extent that you are, to consolidate their efforts or enable their efforts?
Well, if I set up the common infrastructure that's common to all of them on an enterprise level and allow them to continue to grow their unique sides, it'll allow them to stop paying for that common infrastructure individually. So I think it'll be a little more economical for them to allow us to talk to the carriers and allow them to run their own applications, configurations, and data.
But bottom line, you're not trying to completely take this over from the services and tell them to stop what they're doing.
It has never worked in the past. It's never going to work in the future. What you got to do is figure out what is common across all of them, set that up as a common service, and then allow each of them to do what is uniquely Air Force, Army, or Navy, or other federal agencies.
Now, as far as devices and platforms and operating systems, what's the focus at the moment?
Focus at the moment is Androids, Apple iOS, RIM, and Windows. Those are by far and away the most predominant in the market space. That's what we're going to start with, and we'll see what levels out over the next couple of years. We don't want to create a special DoD device. We want the commercial marketplace to continue to move that forward.
Now, with this relatively aggressive timeline here, I'm curious as to how that's going to work, because as I understand it, you still have no STIG approved for iOS or Apple devices. There's only one Android device approved. Does that stand in your way, or how are you getting around that?
There are more Android devices approved. The Apple STIG is really, really close. You can, in fact, put it up today with a couple of minor tweaks and acceptance of some minor risks. We are getting very close. As you know, any time, once you do it once, the second time is faster, the third time is even faster, the fourth time is even faster. We're hoping to be able to release security reference guides to the device manufacturers, so when they start designing the next generation handheld, that the special concerns that we may have to ensure data assurance and integrity is already built in.
But bottom line, it sounds like you're still going to have to do this on a device-by-device basis rather than just approving an operating system. Is that true?
No, we hope to be able to approve a class. So class by class. You know, let's say we approved an Apple iOS 5. iOS 6 comes out. The amount of certification needed for that would be whatever the changes are. We could hopefully speed that up. Also, by looking at pushing this off to a certification agency who does this for a living, they'll be able to do it much quicker than how we've been doing it by pulling engineers off their day job to do it.
I mean, it seems that one of the problems with the current STIG process is, for example, with the only Android STIG that you have so far, the device was off the market before the STIG was approved.
Well,
like I said in
my presentation, the life cycle of smart devices is 12 to 15 months. We are now getting inside of that curve. We hope to be having STIGs approved and ready before the device is even released to the marketplace. That's our ultimate goal. We're working there. We haven't got there yet, and probably for the foreseeable future, we'll still have a little lag between when the next new hot device comes out and when there's a STIG approved for it. We hope that to be a very short period of time.
Okay, so in your app store, talk to me about how you envision this process working. Who develops them? Who tests and certifies that they meet DoD security standards, etc.?
Well, we hope to have a security reference guide out on app development too, so that when someone's developing an app, they know that if they make the thing Bluetooth specific, that maybe there might be an issue. So if they develop it slightly differently, they know it will be good. Our goal is that they would then test it against that SRG and submit that app to a certifying agency where in 72 hours we can say, yes, it can be promoted to the DoD App Store, or no, here's what you got to fix. So we're trying to put all those processes in place to work at the same time, at the speed that an Apple iStore works. Their general time is 72 to 96 hours.
And do you feel like most of this is going to be adaptation of existing apps that are out there in the commercial marketplace already, or things that vendors are going to build specifically for military applications, or some combination?
We hope it to be very, very heavily already existing applications. The only thing they may have to do is saying it no longer points to a iCloud or a Google Cloud. It points to the DoD cloud. That may be the only change it needs to have to make it fully acceptable. So we expect 90%+ of the apps to be generalized commercial applications. Very few of them will be DoD-specific applications.
And I think you said you expect to have some functionality out of this in the first quarter. What sorts of things do you think you're going to be able to do at that early stage?
We should have our first generation of device management, mobile application storefronts, and device end-to-end controls. So we hope to have the basic infrastructure up by that time and use the next 9 months after that to work out the last risks and set it up so that it can be a global service.
And it sounds like you're imagining the app store, at least, and individual apps being built for different security echelons, right?
We have no choice. It may not be built for different security echelons. What it will be is it'll be built once, but it'll be hosted on this security echelon where it can only get to this type of data. Because like Google Earth, you know, that's unclassified. But if you're working in a classified environment, you still may want Google Earth. It just would be loaded off of here so that it wouldn't expose itself back to the commercial internet.
And did I understand right that you're imagining with multiple personas being able to access classified networks and unclassified networks on the same device?
In the future.
There's still,
it's a ways off. A lot of technology, especially in security protocols within an application, have to be developed.